That. But that didn't happen. Well, I didn't call him, but that just happened. A couple of things before we start. And Brian mentioned once before the shoe boxes, which are due next week. And I see we got a little bit of a stack here. And for those who have put those together and are going to put them together, I'd like to thank you. I think it's really a worthwhile thing. I'd also like to thank, although he's not here yet, Peter Lynn. Peter every year volunteers to take these boxes. He puts them in the back of whatever he's driving. And I don't know if it's an LK truck sometimes, and sometimes it's his SUV, and takes them off to the church. There's a central place in Windsor to pick them up. I'd like to thank him for that. With prayer requests, and oh, gee, we have so many, but with the Winnicks, I saw Trish last week, and you know, you can just see the stress that Trish is going under with Joe has his problems, of course, with ALS, his daughter. And my wife said to me, you know, gee, I hope somebody's taking care of Allie. Allie is still in high school, and she's home, and she sees all these problems with her sister and with her father. And, of course, I mean, it's very visible with her mother, and pray for her, too. And we could also pray for Peter Kelton. As he leaves now to go to Guatemala, I think it's this week, and he'll be working down there. He stays there for a week, and it's not easy. I know he sees a lot of patients, and he puts in a lot of hours, and there's no air conditioning where he sleeps, but it's very hot and humid where he sleeps. So I would just keep them in our prayers, too. And there's just so many things. I talked to Jose earlier about his friend Michael, who we've been praying for months, and now the doctors are saying there is a chance that maybe this is not a terminal cancer with this and this boy. He's only in his 20s, and he went through a bout of something else, lost a leg due to cancer, so keep him in our prayers. And he's hoping, actually, I guess he's being moved to Windsor, and he's hoping that he can get him out here one Sunday. It would be nice to see him put a face to the name of the person we're praying for. So let's start off with a word of prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you that we can be here. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the gift you've given us, your Son, for our salvation, that sacrifice and for us that we can just, so hard for us to comprehend. We pray for these people once again who we've been talking about earlier with a special for the Winnick family and for Peter Kelton. Just ask your care over them in the coming weeks. We thank you again for our salvation and for the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. So I was trying to come up with a title because I like to have titles for my talks. And this one is going to be, I think, just God's love for us. And remember, when I say God's love for us, I mean you and I mean me. The two of us, we're us. And did a picture come up behind me? Oh, good. I'm going to start this off. And it's funny how God works in your life. Whenever you decide, I decide because I put the slots in, fill the slots in, that you're going to speak, you're always looking for a topic. And I was talking to Craig Massey, and he said, you've got to see this video. It's all about the universe that God has made for us. And so I took that, and you know, don't think I'm a computer wizard, but certainly I'm not, but I took a few of the shots out of it there. And this is just a picture of the stars as seen by the Hubble telescope. And before we look at these, I'd like to look at a number of verses. I'm not going to have you look up a lot today, but if you just look at Genesis, this won't be hard to find. Genesis 1, verse 16. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. That's all they say about God creating the stars. He made the stars. Then if you could flip forward, please, to Isaiah chapter 42. and verse 5. Thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and stretched them out. And, you know, it's almost, you could almost picture in your mind that God would just take the stars and the heavens and just make them a little bigger for us. And then if you look a little further on in the same book, Isaiah 45, verse 12. And in this verse, Isaiah is saying what God has told him. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hands, stretch out the heavens, and all their host I have commanded. Despite what the Governor General says. And also chapter 51 of Isaiah, verse 13. The Lord speaking again. And you forgot the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. And then one more. In Jeremiah 10:12. He has established the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. So, when you look at the heavens, and I always find this really interesting to do, but well, they used to say when I was in university, I don't know if they still say this, if you start really thinking about how big the universe is, and if you really contemplate on it, you can just go crazy because it just gets so large. So, a couple things I'd like to say. From the earth to the sun, if you want to go there, the distance from the earth to the sun ranges between 146 million and 152 million kilometers. I'm doing this in kilometers just for you. I don't understand kilometers. I only stand miles, but I'll do it in kilometers. And the orbit around the sun is not a circle. We don't circle around the earth. We ellipse around the earth, and it sort of stretches out one way. If you know what an ellipse is, it goes sort of like this. And strangely enough, and I don't know why, some scientists could tell me, I'm sure, we are closer to the sun in the wintertime and further away from it in the summertime. You would think it would be the opposite, but it is not. The Earth also, if you go from North Pole to South Pole, it's tilted a little bit as it goes around the Sun. And that tilt is just perfect. That keeps the waters of the oceans in the oceans and the tides where the tides are and the seasons where the seasons are. And it's at a perfect distance from the sun. If you got too much closer to the sun, it would be so hot we could not live. If we got a little further from the sun, talking in ranges of millions of kilometers, if we got that much further from the sun, it would be so cold we wouldn't be able to live here. It's in a perfect spot. And it goes around perfectly every year. And you know, I was even amazed. I was watching the news the other night, and they were talking about the full moon. And they know the minute, the guy was talking about the next day or two. Oh yes, the full moon is going to take place at 10:12 p.m. that night. And that's how exact that is. And you know, when we see these eclipses of the sun, etc., they know years and years in advance. They know for how many years it's going to be till there's the next one, because everything is set up so perfectly. And for those of you who say you never get around, in 1 year, we travel 940 million kilometers around the sun. So next time, guys, your wife says, why don't you take me on vacation? I just took you on this big trip. In 1 day, we travel 2,575,000 kilometers in the orbit of the Earth. And I figured it out, because I've been here about 2.25 hours since I came in for morning meeting this morning. We've traveled 241,402 kilometers, and I'm not even tired. It's amazing. So God has sent us all of that. And now, we can see so much more of it. So this picture, these pictures actually are colored somehow, but they're just amazing to me. Oh, and I should tell you, another thing that happened in getting ready for this, I was over at my son's house, and he showed me this app that he had on his phone. It's called, I had it written down here too. No, it's called Sky Guide. And when you, it's amazing. If you have seen it, if you have an iPhone, you pick it up, you see through the camera of your phone, and it shows the stars, but then it also shows all the names of the stars that are up there, and any that you can't see. I was out barbecuing one night. We often eat late. I was out barbecuing. It was dark, and I was waiting for, I had my timer going on my iPhone, so I thought I should try this out. And right over my head, going this way, is the Milky Way. And I could see maybe three stars, and I look through this thing, and there's millions of them going across. It's really worthwhile. There is supposed to be a dark place somewhere in Essex County where you can go and you can see the stars, because obviously here with so much light, we can't. I was invited there once, but that day it rained. But I'll get there one of these days. So let me just show you a couple more of these. Okay. Did it change? No. Aaron, could you see if you could just change that picture? There, okay. This is the Hubble telescope. And I was quite surprised. The Hubble telescope has been up for 20 years. As a matter of fact, they say it's wearing out. I don't know how a telescope wears out, but they have a new one ready to go. And there's going to come a time when the two of them are going to be up there at the same time before they, I don't know how they take this one down, lasso it, pull it down, I don't know. It's the size, about the size of a school bus. And it's up there, and it can see things we can't see, because we have the ozone layer, and it filters out lights, ultraviolet light, so you don't get skin cancer. It doesn't work perfectly, but as you can see. But, okay, if we go to the next one, the every anniversary of the Hubble telescope, NASA sends a picture. And this is a picture they have somewhere off in space. And those are two galaxies. You know, we live in the Milky Way galaxy, but now they're saying there are so many. They're saying that there could be 100 billion galaxies in the universe, if you can wrap your heads around that number. And with the number of stars that's in an average galaxy, that would mean in the universe there are more stars than there are grains of sand on all the beaches on the Earth. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me, but I'm not going to think too long about it in case I go crazy. But they're showing these two. If you can get me the next one, Aaron, please. Now, these two people are talking. This is from a TV program, 60 Minutes, obviously. And she's showing these clouds that are out in the universe somewhere, and stars are born in these clouds. So he asked her, how big is that cloud? And she said, oh, the one on the left there, it's about 10 light years high. And he looked shocked, and she said, the universe is big. And the next one, please. This is a picture of Jupiter. Jupiter being a, she's okay, don't worry about her. Your mom's looking for you. Jupiter is the largest of planets. And a few years ago, Jupiter was hit by a comet. And this is where it hit. And this woman was explaining to this. She said, this is where it hit. But that circle, that's the size of the Earth. So he said, if that hit the Earth, that comet, that would be kind of damaging. He said, yes, I forget what she said. It would be a life-changing moment. Well, the Earth would disappear. But you know, we're not going to get hit by that comet, because God's in control. And one more, I think. And this is something that the Hubble telescope, there's a place just across the top of the Big Dipper where if you look at it with the naked eye, or look at it with a telescope, even a big telescope, you don't see anything. But they arranged the Hubble telescope so I would look at this for 4 days. And it looked in there, and every one of those pieces of light that you see is a galaxy with planets and stars. And so far away, I can't even imagine the numbers. Because I think, not that I'm a physicist or scientist or anything like that, I think that in the near future, somebody's going to find out that light travels even faster than we think it does. And this guy was saying, this one right here, he thinks that might be the origin of the whole universe. But he says, I think when we do get to the universe, we're going to get a lot of surprises. And I think the big surprise they're going to get is that God is in control of that. So God controls all of this universe. You could, Aaron? I'm all done with that, thanks. God controls all of this universe, yet he knows us. He knows each of us individually. And I was trying to think of another thing that came to my mind. By accident? No, there's no accident. And I'd like to sort of go over the story of Junior Spence. Now, a lot of you know Junior. Some of you may not. You know Todd and Alicia, or Todd and Pat, thank you, I'm sorry. Todd and Pat. Junior is Pat's brother. Junior's the same age as Aaron. They were in Young People's together. And back around, I think, 1989, I was trying to figure this out with someone. They were both in Young People, so I was teaching in Essex at that time, and Junior had gone to another high school, and he was misdiagnosed. And they said, you don't really need to be in this school. You need to be a school called Western. And Western is a vocational school, which is good for some people, but that wasn't for Junior. And Junior hated it there. And about, I don't know, sometime in the winter, it could have been before, after Christmas, I don't remember, the principal at the school at that time of Essex, he had come to the Lord fairly new. He had been a Christian for just a few years. But I came to him and I said, you know, our young people would like to go play basketball, but it's expensive to get a gymnasium, and of course we did not have this here. So I said, can I use the gym? And he said, sure. Gave me the keys, gave me the code so I can shut the alarm off in the school. And about every 2 weeks for a period of time, the young people would come out and they'd play basketball and volleyball at the gymnasium in Essex. Well, I'll tell you, if Aaron could tell you if you talked to him after, Junior was a pretty good basketball player. And so this friend of mine, who is a coach, he's the same one who said to me, you should really take Aaron to Essex to go to high school because you have a much better business program there than they do at the school he's at now. And that would really be good for him. What he didn't happen to say, and Aaron's a pretty good guy and I need an offensive lineman, as he was a football coach. But I did do that. I even had to pay tuition for a couple of years. But this is the same guy. And he looks at Junior and he says, I said, he's a pretty good basketball player. He says, yeah. He says, but he'd be a great wide receiver. So he had me make an appointment with Junior's mother and father. We went to their house and got talking to Basil Sr. And he said, I will come and pick up your son every day, and I'll bring him home every day if you let him come to Essex, because I think it's a better school for him and he'll be a great wide receiver, which he was. And so every day for 3 years, this is when he was going into grade 11, and this is back in the time when we had 5 years of high school, we had the OAC year. Every day for 3 years, he picked him up in the morning, drove him out to Essex, brought him home after football practice, or if he had basketball practice, I think he played basketball too, And he would wait after that practice, bring him home. He did that for 3 years. And encouraged him, got him some assistance in what he needed to learn better. And Junior said he wanted to do his OAC year, and I'll have to tell you, I'll confess, I was wondering if he could. And I went down to see his coach, who was also a guidance counselor. I said, are you sure about this? He says, no, but he says he can do it, so I got to give him a chance. And he worked so hard that year, because I know he was in one of my classes. He got his OAC diploma. He went on to university, graduated. Now he has a good job. He's married. He has a family. He has a house. And I said to him, two or three years ago, or maybe longer than that, I said, Junior, I said, where would you be if Mr. Spettigue hadn't come into your life? And he said, I'd be flipping burgers at McDonald's. But you know what? I asked him the wrong question. I should have said, Junior, where would you be if God had not brought Mr. Spettigue into your life? Just like that. So amazing that God will do that for us. He loves us as individuals. And sometimes we look around at the world today and, what do we see? Terrorists, wars, people laughing at people in places of authority, laughing at people or scorning people who have faith because they don't believe in science. Well, and sometimes we think, could it get any worse than this? And you know what? I think it can, and I think it has been. Think about this. And I'll just go back. I'll just read this, because you don't have to read this. But in Genesis, again, with Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham, God was going to destroy Sodom, and Abraham said, suppose there were 50 righteous people in the world, in that city. Would you destroy it? He said, no, okay, I won't destroy it if there's 50 people. Well, what if there were 45? He was a bargainer. I would not do it for the sake of 40. And he said, well, suppose 30 could be found. I will not do it if I can find 30. And they got all the way down to 10. I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. And yet, that city was destroyed. A whole city. They couldn't find 10 people in it to not destroy it. Well, I'm sure. I mean, look around here. There's a lot of good people in this room. I know almost everybody in here. You're all good people. We're most likely saving Windsor just in this room. But that not only just here, in a lot of churches throughout this city, there's good people who love the Lord. And then think about in the days of the disciples. The disciples, and we were doing some readings this morning, God was telling them he was going to die. And they're saying, can I reign with you? They didn't think he was going to die. And yet, they knew the Messiah had come. And they followed him for years, and they heard him speak publicly, and he spoke with them privately. And then what happened? He was betrayed by a friend, one of the own disciples. He was illegally arrested. He was unjustly tried. He was beaten. And he was executed. He was crucified. And in that afternoon, their world went dark. And their world went dark, literally. There was dark upon the earth, and figuratively, they must have thought all was lost. And then 2 days later, 3 days later, he's back. And what they thought was the worst thing that could happen in this world was a huge victory. A perfect sacrifice was made for our sins. They could understand it now. A new covenant of grace, not the law. We was at the funeral for Erwin Deschamps' father, and Erwin spoke so well, and he said, salvation, we can't earn it. We just have to accept it. That's the covenant of grace, not the law. The Holy Spirit has been brought into the world to indwell in us. All of us as believers, the Holy Spirit indwells in us. All because God loves us so much. The church was started up. And hundreds, before the Lord left the earth at Pentecost, hundreds of people were in that church, and it just grew and grew and grew. So we have to think about, well, why is all this evil in the earth? You know, and is it going to, as it has been since time beginning, is it going to change? And so I'd like you to, this is the last time, take a look in the book of Habakkuk, a small little book. If you need the pages, 1522 in mine. And Habakkuk talked to God, and he said, "O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds." Now tell me, does that sound so much different than today? History repeats itself, but it seems we never learned from it. So God asked him, why is this? And in chapter 2, he answers. And he said, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." I'm in verse 3. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." The time is coming when God will finally judge this earth. But you know, he loves the people of the earth. He wouldn't sacrifice a city for 10 people. So, unfortunately, there's a lot more than that. There's so many evil people in this world, but there are good people. And so we have to look and say, he's not finished yet. I think that's what he's saying there. I'm not finished yet. It's yet to come. But it will come. As I said to you last week, God does not lie. God does not lie. That end is coming. And as has been done through the ages, as I was saying last time I spoke, people are always expecting it will be now. It will be in the time that we are in. If it will or will not, I don't know. The signs are there, but I'm sure that people in the 9th century, in the 10th century, in the 12th century, and here in the 21st century, they all saw the signs. They saw what it was. But Habakkuk just knows that it was coming. And now with what we see now, when we look back and have more scriptures in the book of Revelation, we know what form it's going to take, but we know it is coming. God is coming. So now, on a personal note, what about you? Like I say, you can't earn your salvation. You're not saved by what you do, not by works, but by the grace of God. And all you have to do, God offers that to you freely. Just accept my salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I sincerely hope you have done that. Can you sit here today with assurance that if a comet were to strike this building, we all disappeared, that you'd be in heaven? I would hope that would be true. But if it hasn't, it can be true. It can be true for you. And all you have to do is accept that gift that was offered to you by the Lord Jesus and the sacrifice that he made. So my wife thought I was going to have not quite enough material, and I'm about 5 minutes short. But I hope you'll forgive me for that, and we'll just end here. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all these things that you have done for us. That you could be the God of a universe that stretches out seemingly forever, and you're perfectly in control of all of it. And yet, Father, you have the time for me. You have the time for all of us. You watch over us. You guide us. And sometimes, Father, we're not even aware of it. And yet, you care that much for us. You have that much love for us. We know, Father, that there's nothing we could do to be holy in your sight other than to accept the sacrifice of your Son, to accept him as our Savior. And all of our sins are separated from us as far as the east is from the west. And we will appear holy in your sight when we come before you. We just thank you so much for this, Father. Pray for the rest of the world that they could see the power and majesty of yourself. Pray again for those people we've mentioned in our prayer list today. Thank you for the good news and for the bad. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.